Good morning, Fellowship Church. Good morning from wherever you are joining us from. Emily, Matthew, Jasmine, thanks so much for some incredible worship. We're excited to worship through song as we finish the message today as well. These are our friends over in our sister church, Hope Point Church, also with us here in South Salem. And Emily is my niece. That is her claim to fame, not mine. So, today we are going to be continuing our InstaSham series. And we talked a lot last week about statistics involving Instagram. And really, we talked about how our culture is absolutely obsessed with the idea of perfection. Each and every one of us, we try to manufacture perfection in order to stand out. We try to manufacture perfection by the Instagram photos that we post in order to fit in. And we try to manufacture perfection in order to be accepted by other people, either on social media and especially in person. And we do so, we try to portray perfection by portraying ourselves in just the right way, in just the right light, in just the right angle with just the right duck lips. Remember duck lips from last week. And so we use filters and we wear masks in order to cover up our flaws and show people just how put together we really are. But we're not so put together, are we? And so the problem with idealizing perfection, the problem with this InstaSham way of life is that it sends a message. And here's the message that it sends that we talked about last week. The message InstaSham sends is that it's not okay to not be okay. So pretend like you're okay, okay? And that, friends, is absolutely not okay. What we discussed last week is that it is okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to stay there. So it's okay to not be okay, but we can't stay there in the state of not being okay and never progressing. And so the big idea for last week, which will lead us into this week, the big idea is that each and every one of us can come to God in humility and faith just as we are. So we can come to God while we're not okay. We can come to Him with humility and faith just as we are. Each and every one of you can come to God. But God loves us enough to not let us stay there. So we can come to God imperfect, and it's God's desire to take us from imperfect to forgiven and from forgiven to progressing. And so with that recap of last weekend, I want to look at the key verse that we're looking at all 3 weeks of this series, InstaSham. And that verse is 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. You can read along with me on the screen, on your FC Online app, in your Bible, or on your tablet, computer, phone, however you read the Bible. But here's what I'd like you to do. I would like you, in your house right now, maybe you're riding in your car right now, I would like you, with the people there in your home, in your car, on your couch, in your bed, to recite this verse, to read this verse with me out loud. We're going to do this every single week because I believe reading the Word of God aloud is a powerful way to claim it in faith over our lives. And so let's read this out loud together. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for this opportunity this Sunday morning to look at your word, and more importantly, to have your word look at us. God, as your word divides our heart this morning, I pray that you would reveal to us things that we need to hand over to you. Reveal to us things that we need to acknowledge in our own lives so that we can go from forgiven to progressing. Help us to progress in our lives, in our relationships, and mostly in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to point out with you today three of the verses within 1 John chapter 1. I want to look at verse 6, 8, and then 10 to get to our point for today. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So that's like saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Christ, but I'm going to continually live my life of sin however I want to do it. And so Scripture says if we do that, if we say we're a follower of Jesus, but we just deliberately go on sinning, we're lying. But the question is, who do we lie to? Well, first of all, we're lying to ourselves. We're saying that, hey, really what I believe isn't true. What we're doing is we're lying to others and telling them that, hey, you can receive the forgiveness of Jesus, but don't have to live like it. We're also lying to God, telling him that we appreciate what he's done for us and in us, but not actually believing it. And it says when we do that, we're not practicing truth. And so the truth of Jesus impacts our lives, but when we deliberately go on persistently, consistently sinning, not even caring about what God thinks about it or how he paid for our sins, we're not practicing the truth. Let's look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. The truth isn't in us when we deceive ourselves. So this would be like saying, well, I know what I'm doing. It's not really sin. Everyone does this. It's okay to do these things. And I don't really have a problem. And see, when we do that, when we go on telling ourselves we don't have a problem, that this is not a big deal, it's not really sin, then Scripture here tells us we're deceiving ourselves. And then finally, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we say that we haven't sinned, then we make God a liar, and God's word is not actually in us. And so there's this idea here throughout 1 John chapter 1 from these passages that we can see that there is something utterly enslaving about deceiving God. There's something so enslaving about deceiving others and especially deceiving our own selves of our sin. And that's because sin enslaves. Sin enslaves us to the enemy, the devil. Sin enslaves us to a life of darkness, and sin ultimately enslaves us to death itself. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so sin enslaves us to this lifestyle of death. And so when we don't acknowledge our sin, when we hide our sin, when we mask our sins, when we deny our sins, when we put filters over our sins, and we keep our sins in secret, and when we keep them in the dark, we then keep ourselves in the dark. And here's what I know about sin. If you hear one thing today, I think this might be one of the most important. You see, sin grows and flourishes in the dark. Here in the city of Salem in Oregon, where we live and our church is, there used to be an enormous mushroom plant on the east side of town. And the entire east side of town smelt horribly like manure because it takes a lot of manure to grow mushrooms. But they would grow these mushrooms in the dark. Mushrooms, for some reason, grow really good in the dark, and they don't want to expose them to too much sun. Moss grows really good in the shade. And so sin, like mushrooms and like moss, grows in the dark and it flourishes in the dark. And to keep your sin in the dark, well, that gives your sin power over you. And to keep your sin in the dark shows yourself, shows God, and shows others that your sin has power over you. Alcoholism, shame, bitterness, vengeance, depression, pornography addiction, anxiety, trauma, broken attachments, lust, eating disorders, cutting, suicidal ideation, sexual perversion, drug addiction, negative self-talk, affairs, gambling, game addiction, inadequacy, insecurity, condemnation, and idolatry. All those things grow in the dark. Not all those things I listed were sinful in and of themselves. To have depression, that's not a sin. But when we keep it in the dark, depression grows. When we keep it in the dark, depression flourishes. When we keep it in the dark, depression possesses power over us, just like addiction does, just like alcoholism does, just like eating disorders do. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Just don't think about those things. Keep them out of your train of thinking. So what we tend to do with these things, like these things I listed and mentioned, is we tend to deny that we have a problem with those things. We tend to hide those things. We ignore those things, and we push them down just a little further. How many of you have pushed down these things? They start to bubble up. You start to become aware of these things that you struggle with, and then you shove it back down, refusing to deal with it. And you think to yourself, these things will resolve themselves, won't they? They'll just kind of go away on their own, but that's absolutely wrong. These things will continue to grow. Whatever it is inside that you're shoving down, that you're denying, that you're masking, refusing to deal with, those things will continue to grow. They will continue to flourish unless you discover them. Some of you need to discover those things today. Unless once you discover them, you acknowledge them. You repent of them. Repenting is just acknowledging, this is not where I should be. God, I'm going to turn away from that thing. These things will continue to grow unless you bring them to God. That's what repentance is. This is not good. What I'm experiencing is not my best. And so I acknowledge it's wrong. I'm going to turn from it. I'm going to hand it to God. And then these things will grow unless you learn how to share these things with others. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. But let's talk about what it looks like to discover, to acknowledge, to repent, and to bring before God. You see, lying, denial, deception, and darkness keeps us enslaved to our sins, to the enemy, and to death. But here's the good news. If those things, if the darkness keeps us enslaved, if hiding and denying things keeps us enslaved, the good news is that but the truth sets us free. Masking, filtering, denying, hiding, enslaves, but the truth sets free. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 31. Read along silently with me this morning. John 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word," remember 1 John 1 said, when we lie, his word is not in us. And so here Jesus says, when you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And that reminds me of 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we have fellowship with God, then we practice the truth. And so Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. You're truly my followers. And here's the verse, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. I am the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through me. So when we follow the truth, when the truth is in us, like 1 John 1 says, when we practice the truth, like 1 John 1 says, then we find out here from Jesus that the truth sets us free. If he is the way, the truth, and the life, when we walk in and follow and practice the truth sets us free. Free from being enslaved to the enemy, our sins, and death. And when you look throughout the Bible, and especially in our passage for this series, 1 John chapter 1, there's a word that's synonymous with the word truth. And you may have caught on already, but that word is the word light. Truth and light used synonymously. Darkness and lying and deceit used synonymously as well. But the word is light. And look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We'll talk more about that next week. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And so if truth and light are synonymous, let's look at it this way. If we walk in the truth as Jesus is truth, if we walk out in the open, if we walk in the light, humble, authentic, and in vulnerability, exposing our sin to the truth, exposing our sin to the light of Christ, if we walk in the truth, if we walk in the light, if we refuse to hide from our sins, if we refuse to wear masks, if we refuse to deny, lie about, and cover up our sins, if we refuse to portray false perfection that everything's okay, if we refuse to put a filter on, if we refuse to continue in an Insta-sham life, then we can begin to get real with one another. Then we can begin to experience true, real light relationship. And because it's okay to not be okay, we can come before God, acknowledge that we're not okay, reveal to God our weakness, and hand our weaknesses over to him so that we can be cleansed from all sin. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So let's start discovering. Let's start acknowledging. Let's start revealing our weakness. Let's bring it to God. Let's confess those things to Jesus, because when we do that, he's faithful. He's righteous to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we walk in truth, when we walk in authenticity, when we walk in vulnerability, when we expose our sins, when we expose our struggle, when we expose our weaknesses, and when we expose our imperfections, when we expose those things to the light, they lose their power. And they won't be able to grow or to flourish any longer, because you're not hiding anything anymore. So think about that for a second. We hide all this stuff inside, all this shame and guilt and condemnation and confusion and depression and anxiety and secrets and sinful things. thoughts that we don't know how to make sense of, and we think that we're going to be crazy or people will think we're weird if we share these things. And so we hold them inside, we wear a mask, we put on filters, we shove it down and down and down, hoping it will deal with itself. But God's word in 1 John chapter 1 gives us the answer to progress from forgiven to progressing, from progressing to walking toward the perfection in Christ. And the answer is this: get your junk out of the dark. Get your sin out of the dark. Get your struggles out of the dark and expose those things to the truth. Expose those things to the light of Christ. And when you do that, they don't hold or sway you with power any longer. They can't grow and flourish any longer. When you walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light. John actually said in his gospel, John chapter 1, not 1 John, but the gospel of John chapter 1, he actually says that Jesus was a light coming in the world, and the light could not be overcome by darkness. I just want you to know, if you want to overcome darkness, overcome the darkness in your own heart with the light of Jesus by exposing the darkness in your heart to the light and showing it to God and asking him to transform and change and progress and heal. And so quit your Insta-sham. Remove your filter. Start living in freedom, friends. Start living in the truth. Start living in the light. Because here's what I know. Here's what I've learned, and many of you have learned as well. There's no bigger relief than not having to lie anymore. Have you ever tried to keep up a lie? Ever tried to keep a secret that wasn't something you should be keeping? And it ate you up alive? And once you decided to expose that secret and that lie to the light and to share it, man, wasn't that a relief? Didn't it feel great to know that you didn't have to hide anymore? So what is it this morning? Today's Sunday, April the 26th. What is it this morning that you need to be true with yourself about in order for you to be set free from the dark? Listen to some of these questions. And I'd actually encourage you, if you could, even if you're sitting there with someone else, close your eyes, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Ask yourself these questions this morning. What have you been denying? What have you been refusing to acknowledge? What have you been shoving down? What is it? What have you been denying, refusing to acknowledge, and shoving down? What's something that's eating you alive that you need to expose to the light? Stop and think right now. Ask yourself, is there something that's eating me alive? A lie? A secret that I need to expose to the light? I would encourage you, let it go. What's something you need to confess? Now, I'm not talking about confessing to a priest. Right now, I'm not actually even talking about confessing to God. What's something you need to confess to yourself? What's something you've been lying to yourself about? This isn't a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have an issue. This is normal. I can control this. I can handle it. I can keep this at bay. What's something right now you need to confess to yourself? What is it? I do struggle with. What is it for you? What's beneath the surface? Last question. What's beneath the surface driving your anxiety? What's beneath the surface driving your depression? What's beneath the surface driving your fear? What's beneath the surface right now driving your addiction? Stop and think for a second. Acknowledge what's happening in your body right now. Acknowledge what's happening in your soul right now. Where is it, as you think about the anxiety, as you think about the fear, as you think about the depression, the addiction, as you think about those things, where do you feel that in your body right now? And as you acknowledge that, what kind of memories is that bringing up? What lies beneath the surface that's driving that addiction, that fear, that depression? What's going on inside? Dig deep. Let yourself go there. And your mind creates barricades so that you don't go there. But I would encourage you, let yourself go to those places in your heart to see what's driving the darkness. See what it is. And call out that lie. Maybe a mother or a father rejected you as a child. And now you're always so worried about pleasing people at work or at school, at church even. Always concerned about pleasing people in your neighborhood. What's beneath that? Maybe that's something that's eating you up inside. Always trying to be accepted and loved and to fit in with everybody else. But what's underneath that could actually be an attachment from your past that's now coming back to haunt you. Man, my father, my mother rejected me. And that's why I'm always seeking the approval of others. And friends, that's not sinful, but God wants more for you than that. God wants freedom from you. God accepts you as you are. Maybe your mother or father or sibling didn't accept you as a child, but God's here today to say to you, I accept you, my child. Your identity's in me, not in those who rejected you. And this is what I'm talking about. This might not be your circumstance, but whatever it is, I want to encourage you, go a little bit deeper. Let yourself go there. See what it is and call it out. I was rejected. Someone abused me. Someone took advantage of me. Someone showed me something I shouldn't have seen. Someone exposed me to something I should not have been around at that age. Call it out. Call it out. Call it out for what it is. Call it out as evil. Call it out as dark. Call it out as something that now causes you addiction, fear, depression, anxiety. Call it out for what it is. Expose it to the truth. Just calling it out. It's exposing it to the truth. Expose it to the light. You know what I've learned is just discovering these things, just simply acknowledging these things can shine light on so much darkness that you struggle with. Sure, there's things you need to resolve. Some of you, literally after hearing this message, you're going to need to call a therapist and get some help. And as a church, we can point you in the right direction. You got to resolve some stuff. You've got to deal with stuff. But sometimes just acknowledging, just seeing, just looking inside and seeing, oh, this is why. Sometimes just that exposes that darkness to so much light that it starts to lose its power exponentially. And God can reach in and begin to do a work. He can begin to progress your life forward. Why am I always so bitter? Why am I always so angry? Why am I always so harsh on people? Well, maybe someone was harsh and angry towards you, and you're just now projecting that forward. So what is it you need to deal with? Call it out. It's okay to not be okay. But you can't stay there, friends. It's okay to not be okay, but you can't stay there. Just one or two more questions before I wrap this up and we go into a time of worship. What's not okay in your life right now? What's not okay in your past that you've never touched, that you've never dealt with, you've never resolved, you've never healed from? If it's okay to not be okay, but understanding you can't stay there, what's not okay? God's convicting me right now, even as I'm sharing. What was something that wasn't okay before? What's something that's not okay now? And even as I speak those words, my own heart begins to try to make excuses for those things because we learn to defend ourselves. But I'm telling you, if you can expose those lies to the light of Christ, you don't have to defend yourself any longer. You can simply discover, acknowledge, repent, and hand to Christ. Acknowledge what's not okay. Call it out. Call it out. I am, what is it for you? I'm arrogant. I'm judgmental. I'm hypocritical. I'm a liar. What's not okay? Call it out. Acknowledge it. What is it? And I want you to just hold it. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus this morning. Jesus, something that's not okay in me is. It's this. It's greed, anger, violence, fear, depression, anxiety, addiction, lust, sexual perversion. lies I've told myself, brokenness that I'm dealing with. It's not okay, Jesus. I'm going to bring it to you. So go ahead, bring it to Jesus. Repent of it. Repent, again, things like depression or anxiety. Those aren't sinful things. But they're just things that we need to say, this isn't okay. I want to give it to you, Jesus. I want to turn from that. Repent of it. I want to turn from it. So repent. Now ask Jesus, as you bring that thing to him, the thing that's not okay, I want you to ask Jesus for help. I want you to ask Jesus for healing so that you can not just be forgiven, but actually progressing. Right there in your homes, wherever you're joining us live from today, or even if you're watching years from now, would you just get yourself to a place where you can maybe even close your eyes, bow your head so that your kids aren't distracting you? Can you put your phone down right now? If you're commenting on this live feed, can you actually stop for a second? Can you stop interacting with what's going on in the live feed? And can you actually just listen real close for just a moment? I want to share with you a passage of Scripture from the life of Jesus. See, there was a father who brought his demon-possessed son who had all sorts of physical ailments from the possession. He brought his son to Jesus to have Jesus heal and deliver him from evil. And so Jesus asked the man a question. He says, how long has this been going on with your boy? And the dad begins to answer, this is how long it's been going on. When it happens, this happens, and he falls into the fire. He gets himself hurt. And listen real carefully. The verse is Mark 9:22. Mark 9:22. Please just keep your eyes closed. Keep your focus in on the Lord and on his word. The man says this to Jesus. Jesus, this is what's going on with my boy, but if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, show us compassion. Help us, Jesus. The man acknowledged his son's problem was his problem. It was their problem. Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. And Jesus said to the man, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Jesus said, of course I can. Everything is possible to someone who believes. And here's the key to close this out in prayer this morning. Listen very carefully to what the man says. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out to Jesus and said this, Mark 9:24, I believe. I believe. But that was a filter. That was a mask. That was shoving something down. That was not acknowledging the darkness to the light. He says, I believe. Help my unbelief. There it was. He had some semblance of faith and belief. He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. You see what he did? He discovered he had a lack of belief the moment that Jesus told him that. He acknowledged, it took him just a second, but he acknowledged, oh, I have some unbelief. He then repented of that. Help my unbelief. And what did he do with it? He walked in the light. He didn't walk in the darkness. He walked right in the light of Jesus. And he told Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus touched the boy, delivered him, and healed him. You see, I don't think it was the faith of the man that drove Jesus to compassion. I think it was his vulnerability. I think it was him knowing he didn't have it all together, but walking in the truth and walking in the light of that fact. I believe this man was acknowledging his lack of belief and bringing it to Jesus, and that's where he experienced the compassion and the help and the healing that he discovered. And the older I get, the less and less convinced I am that faith is the same as belief. And the more and more convinced I get that faith is just simply having an open, humble heart which walks in the light and walks in the truth. God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, whatever is inside of us that's not okay, whatever is inside of us that's been eating us alive, whatever is inside of us that's driving unhealthy behavior, Holy Spirit, would you reveal that to us right now? Would you give us a glimpse into our own hearts? Would you show us what it is? And Jesus, right now, as you begin to show us, would you allow us to then discover that, acknowledge it, call it out for what it is, repent of it, turn from it, and hand it to you? Jesus, as we acknowledge those things and hold those things in our heart right now and hand them over to you, would you take these things and heal us, help us, deliver us, and lead us into the light? Psalms 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So go ahead, ask the Lord right now. Search me, know me, try my thoughts, try my heart. And if there's something wicked in there, lead me in the way everlasting. Let me give it to you. Friends, let's get out of the dark. It's okay to not be okay, but you can't stay there. Let's acknowledge it, call it out, repent of it, bring it to Jesus, and let him heal. Let him lead us to progression. Let's quit living that insta-sham life and start living for Christ. God bless you guys. I'll see you this week at noon devotions. We'll see you at 7 p.m. Tuesday through Friday for staff devotions on our FC members and attenders Facebook group. And I'll catch you next week. Next week, I'm going to conclude this series with a look at what it means, what it looks like to bear each other's burdens, to confess to one another, and to fulfill the law of Christ. God bless.